Before we jump into this amazing episode, don't forget, SOBs, that we are trying to raise $10,000 for the Save SOB Christmas Fund to help people, you guys, who have been affected by the unconstitutional vaccine mandate. So if you can donate to this and help support people who are having a hard time, or if you're one of those people who have been fired or lost your job or hours because of the vaccine mandates and you need help, find the directions of how to donate and also how to apply for the SOB Christmas gift in the links below. Let's get into the show.
What do you mean we're lucky to be white?
It's not luck, it's privilege.
We're privileged that people see us, not a color.
Privilege that we don't get stared at when we walk into the room.
Privilege that we don't get followed by security when we go shopping.
Or pulled over when we're in the wrong neighborhood.
We're privileged because society was set up for us, and our silence keeps it in place.
We're privileged, and that's unfair.
How do you demoralize a population? Well, I can tell you this. If we can go to my screen, Savannah, right now. This is a tweet from The Modern Man, the I Am Modern. And there's these steps. Number one, make marriage seem pointless. Number two, make architecture depressing. Number three, make modern music soulless. Four, make modern art uninspiring. Then five, make porn readily available. Six, make all junk food cheap so people are fat. And seven, make all news negative. What else would you add? This sounds like modern society. Don't you love progress? It's so fantastic. I'm feeling great. And to talk about all of this and more, I brought on the amazing guest, author, podcaster, speaker, visionary musician, Rollo Tomasi. The Rational Male series of books that you wrote are amazing. They're crushing it online. And I'm so privileged to have you on Slightly Offensive for the first time.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for bringing me on.
Yeah, so on that note, welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color just to celebrate the day. It's the 8K graphics that you guys can afford. Blowing in our face, it's abbreviated COC. Give a little COC to Rollo.
Hey.
Everyone knows what a man needs is a little COC in his face. There you go. And it's also, it's rainbow, it's confetti of colors, so we get that the diversity. It feels good, huh? Before we jump into that today, I got to let you guys know something. You know, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling amazing because, of course, not only do I have a good friend, Rollo Tomasi, who we're going to talk about crazy things, like, for instance, the fact that white people still hate themselves. Hillary Clinton is still crying on TV. Believe it or not, libs are still abusing kindergartners in Washington, and transgender people still exist. But before we talk about that, I got to tell you that, you know, as this Christmas comes around, as things are happening, you don't know what to buy people. You don't know what to get yourself even. And there's nothing better that you can get somebody than a good pair of boxers. You know what I'm talking about? Like, have you ever been mad? Of all the things that you've ever been disappointed by, has a good pair of boxers ever disappointed you?
No. Good. They're good to sleep in. I don't actually wear them around myself, but I will sleep.
Do you go commando?
Sleep in them. No, I'm not commando now. No, no, but I mean, as far as like when you're, and when you're about to go to sleep and you jump out of the hot tub, you put on some boxers.
Yes. And I'm going to tell you what, the best boxers in America are UnderTac. Now, UnderTac are battlefield tested, special forces tested from a company that loves you, loves this show, and loves our values. But it doesn't matter what they love if their product sucks. But I'll tell you what it doesn't do. It doesn't suck. It's amazing. They're anti-pilling. They wick away all moisture. They don't ride up. They have many different styles and cuts. I use them to work out. I use them at work. And I also use them to go to sleep as well. They come in a variety of colors. They're extremely comfortable. And of course, my wife thinks that I look good in them. And I promise you, you'll look good in them too. So get the best boxers that we trust here at Slightly Offensive. Go to getundertac.com. That's GETUNDERTAC.com. That's getundertac.com right now and save 20% with promo code OFFENSIVE20. That's getundertac.com, GETUNDERTAC.com. Offer code OFFENSIVE20, OFFENSIVE20, to get the best boxers in America that you will love. You won't regret it. Get them for yourself, get them for friends, get them for family. Let's talk about this, Rollo. So, Rollo, how the hell are you doing?
I'm great, man. Last night's show on You Are Here was phenomenal. The response to that was crazy online. I'm enjoying myself. Thanks for bringing me out here. I was just in Miami the week before this and flew back to Reno, and now I'm back out here again. My travel schedule's been really hectic. I just happens to be what I'm going through right now. So I'm working on a fifth book. As you know, the Rational Male series is at four right now. I'm working on a fifth. I'll probably have that done by January right now. And just, you know, doing my show and doing other people's show. I've got a lot of irons in the fire right now. I'm helping out, fellow podcasters, Fresh and Fit. I'm working with a guy, Kevin Savo, who's doing, for lack of a better term, red pill, video creative work. And I'm trying to, branch out, I think, because I keep talking, I mentioned this on the show, yesterday. I keep talking about how, if you're going to change culture, you have to change the culture. If we're going to get really angry about like the latest Marvel movie going woke, if we're going to get angry about how was it? I think Sydney was talking about how they're going to do a 1984 version that's told from a female perspective. And we just really get, you know, pissed off because we see all of our beloved franchises just going woke. And I say, you know what? You have to create the culture that you want. And so I got to put my money where my mouth is. So if I see a guy who comes up to me and says, hey, I got this great new, you know, it's a YouTube series. I want you to have a cameo appearance in this series. And so I said, this is great. I'm going to put some money into this. I want to make sure that like, if I'm going to be sort of Mr. Red Pill, Mr. Manosphere, Mr. Anti-Woke, then I've got to be at least right at myself, or I've got to be interested in helping produce other people who are doing something similar. So I got a lot of irons in the fire right now.
No, and I love this because people don't realize this. There's this whole other side of the internet called the manosphere. Mm-hmm. And people that don't know what that is, if you had to describe that in just a couple sentences, what is the manosphere? Because it sounds sort of like a conspiracy theory.
It sounds like a gay nightclub is what it sounds like.
The manosphere.
The manhole.
Yeah, clothes not required.
Yes, I know. And the manosphere is, I think a lot of, when they hear it, it sounds like this sinister cult that everybody's been, you know, it's men and misogynists. And it's, I think somebody sent me an article recently about how we're radicalizing the young men of today. And I've been listening to that argument for a long time. But it's incels, it's red pill guys, it's black pill guys, it's doomer guys, it's the MRAs, it can be pretty much anything. It's really just sort of a men's sphere. And I wish there was a better name for it, something that's a little bit more, you know, referential more valid for what it is. But there's a lot of different branches of it right now. So there's the guys who are really, you know, more or less grifters, and there's guys who are really interested in these topics that have been part of really what became the manosphere for about 20 years. That's including myself. I've been doing this and writing about what I've been writing about really since 2002. And either it was on online forums or it was on my blog, which is now 10 years old. Like I said, then of course I published books, and then I got into doing this kind of stuff. And people said, I went from being on forums and people said, you need a blog, started a blog, started doing the blog. Everybody says, you need a book. Okay, I guess I'll be an author now, so I'll go do that. You know, we were talking before about like how we wear a lot of hats and we're sort of jack of all trades. Now I've got to be an internet marketer. Now I've got to be a guy who can produce an Audible book on top of that. And after that, now we got to be able to have a YouTube channel. We have to have outreach. We have to be on social media and all of this engagement. And I don't have my full, you know, I'm not doing four shows a week or five shows a week or anything like that. I only do two. I do one on Sunday and one on a Wednesday, because I still need to be a writer and I still need to be thinking about this stuff and sort of processing this stuff, because that's really what I think a lot of guys come to me for, is to get the information. So I think I'm a little bit more cerebral rather than like red meat. And I, not that I'm above that, because people know that, you know, if you see my thumbnails and things like that, that's part of YouTube. You've got to have something that attracts them. But I'm sure you've heard the analogy of sizzle and steak. And so it's all sizzle and no steak, or it's all steak and no sizzle. I try to give both when I'm putting my right product or whatever.
Well, let's talk about this though, because you know, with what we're talking about with men and women, I want to get into some very deep things, and I want to start by looking at a little bit of what's going on in the culture. So I don't know if you know about this, but gender and sex have been completely disassociated, and it wasn't so long ago that was a niche social studies type of view, something in the humanities that people dreamed
about. Intersectional feminism.
Yes. It was weird. Even when I was in college back in 2011 and I began in there, I mean, still in the sciences, we weren't talking about these kinds of things. We still actually did science. Things had not fully progressed. It was seeping in, but it was still to its weird parts of the universities. But what we're finding today is that people are so confused. If you can go to my screen, we have this article from the New York Post, specifically the University of Pennsylvania is now allowing transgender swimmers swimmers to continue dominating the season with more record-breaking wins. Now, this won't surprise you, but a 22-year-old transgender swimmer at University of Pennsylvania continued her dominant performance this season, setting numerous pool meet and program records at a three-day event in Ohio last weekend. Leah Thomas blew away her competition Friday night in the 500-yard freestyle preliminaries and finals at the Zippy Invitational at the University of Akron, according to results posted by the school. In the finals, Thomas notched a winning time of 4:34.06. I guess that's good. Good enough for a new Ivy League record. That sounds pretty damn good. Mm-hmm. The swimmer continued smashing records on Saturday with nearly 7-second victory in the 200-yard freestyle. So what's so interesting about this is that we've gotten to a point where the reason why we ought to start tackling these issues of what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, is because this is no longer just an intellectual idea of whether or not you want to be a bigot or whether you want to be open-minded. We have men identifying as women, joining women's sports, and academics, intelligent people, telling us, normal people, that we have to accept this dude as a chick. And then that dude comes in and says, clearly, I'm not a woman. I'm not a chick. Because look, I race like a man, a slow man. But that's a slow man's still faster than a woman. And we have this breakdown in society where people are saying, what the f*** is going on, Rollo? What is happening? How did we get here? And how do we get out of this mess?
We got here because we have established a social order that is based on social constructionism and the blank slate. We still believe that a man is the equivalent of a woman and vice versa. We still want to believe that gender is a social construct rather than a biological genetic fact. I'm going to quote Hotep Jesus here. There are only two genders. And that is enough to get you banned on certain platforms. Just saying that, just stating that. Of course, maybe now we'll need to bleep that out. But that's the degree over which the control of that narrative is, that it's so endemic in globalized society right now. We're not just talking about, you know, Western culture. We're talking about on a global scale. We want to establish this idea that men and women, it doesn't matter what the plumbing is, that we're all equal. We all have equal opportunity. We all have equal outcome. Men can do just as much as, you know, men can be just as feminine as women, and women can be just as feminine as men. And we make it subjective. And once things are subjective, well, then anything goes. Like what I was mentioning on last night's show is like, what are we at? 68 genders now? 71 genders? Whatever it is.
Whatever and we make up today.
It's people trying to find something to make themselves feel special is what it comes down to. It's not enough to be gay anymore. You go, oh, I'm gay. Oh, great. You know, you go march in the parade and do your thing, right? And that was enough to make people go, oh, well, he's gay. He's special. You know, let's give him a hand, right? Now that's being gay is mundane. You're just a face in the crowd now. So now we've got to go and put, you know, the septum piercing through our nose, and we got to go and dye our hair, you know, whatever color it is. We got to pretend that a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man. But the problem is now is that we're running into reality that says, no, you can't do that. No, you can't be a male swimmer in female-oriented sports. You can't be like Zuby goes and breaks the deadlifting championship as a woman and then promptly turns his sex back to male right after just to make the point that this is ridiculous. Well, why is it ridiculous? Because we've standardized on the idea that a socially constructed gender narrative is what we're all going to go with, and we're all going to play along with this. So you want to know why people are so willing to put a mask on their face and take a vaccine? Everything like that and seem like sheep right there. It's already been that the premise for that was already set when we decided that, yeah, anybody can be anything they want to and no judgment or anything else. And so if you're willing to accept by inch or by mile, we're all going to play along with, you know, men and women can be whatever they want to. A man can be a woman. Okay, well, let's play along with that. Okay, well, we might as well play along also where we're going to, you know, it's going to be Halloween all the time. We're going to put masks on and pretend we're feeling safe as a result.
But you are correct, because if you can go to my screen, Savannah, there's this, you know, nice young boy here. You know, he looks, I don't know what that is, but this is the point. This is a teacher, and this image comes up, you know, saying, this is the face, I guess, that they give when their students casually gender me correctly. Now, this is actually me in 2018, if you guys remember. No, but this is actually quite interesting here, because this is a school. If you look in the background, it says teachers court. It's got winter seasonal court. I don't know what that pink flag is. They're always Star Wars fans. Not that Star Wars is bad, but it's always a red flag.
It's always the trilogy. It's always the most recent trilogy.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you liked episode 8 or whatever, it's like, oh, God forbid. But, you know, you see this, and there's this flag back here. And this teacher is finding joy, not from the fact that her students are learning to become, intellectual, well-trained, understanding, deep-thinking people, but that students know how to respect my feelings. And specifically, not because this is a manners class or a cultural class, but because in my worldview, what's the most important thing is how to, this is
emotion.
a key phrase, how to gender me correctly. So they're admitting that there is a true form of gender, while also making up whatever form they want in this contradictory mindset of like, well, there is a true way. You have to identify me, correct?
There is binary.
Yeah, so there is binary, but at the same time, I would imagine that this young man identifies himself as, or is that a girl, Savannah?
The 12-year-old boy.
Yeah. Do we know who this is? I don't want to get in trouble for misgendering. You know that my first rule of thumb on the show is I'm against cyberbullying and misgendering people. It's a huge, do we know?
I think it's a girl. I'm going to go ahead and say it is. If you look at the frame of her face, look at her body, look at her shoulders, that's a girl.
I guess I just don't know anymore. I'm on TikTok too much to know what gender people are.
And as soon as this goes live, somebody will say that's actually a dude.
Exactly. We're gonna be, no, but I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? So this is the interesting thing. It's like the culture is admitting that there's an importance and there's a truth about gender, while also trying to break every truth about it and trying to invent their own constructs.
Well, we're running headlong into our narrative of social constructionism. And the blank slate is running headlong into reality right now. When we want to put women into combat roles in the U.S. military to the point where we got to have a girl in there to make everyone think that we're on board with this narrative, we'll lower the physical requirements for her just so she can get in. So we can say we have one girl that is actually carrying a gun and pointing it at somebody and shooting somebody, right? And again, it's we'll lower the standard of the physical standards for firefighters. We can't even call them firemen anymore. We have to call them firepersons or firefighters. We've also got, especially when it comes to wrestling, like when we've got male wrestlers wrestling females in that division. Okay, how far are we willing to go to maintain the fantasy or the fallacy, I should say, of social constructionism? Where do we draw the line? Well, what's going to have to happen is somebody's going to have to die. I'm sorry to say that. Somebody's going to have to, get into an MMA fight. No, I mean, some badass chick is going to go, I can take on any guy. Well, that's fine. Let's put these two together for the very first man and woman fight.
So base.
And somebody's going to get knocked out. Somebody's going to go into a coma, whatever. Someone's going to get hurt.
But they have
reality is going to hurt
but
you.
But they don't say that. Shouldn't have realized that woman outclassed her. And you're like, that's a dude.
Yes.
Like I'm not one to be speaking. People always say I'm taller in person than they expect. Like I'm like about 6'3" and I'm like 220 pounds.
Yes. I noticed that everybody's like, tall in this business.
I was like, Savannah, where's Savannah? We have Savannah literally like we went recently to an abortion, protest. And we were talking about fetus rights and someone put the microphone in Savannah's face because they thought she was a fetus. She's so small. Where are you, Savannah?
Are you a fetus, Savannah? No, you're not.
You know, as somebody, though, who was mobbed by 10 to 12 Antifa members, some of them male, I will say that there is a definite difference in strength for sure there.
Men are evolved for combat. We have more upper body strength. We have greater blood flow. I mean, healthy men with a healthy level of testosterone. Okay. But there are several, I used to have I could probably dig it up. I've got stats for the physical differences between men and women that at least correlate anyways, that human males were born for combat. That's what we're supposed to do. We were supposed to provide, protect, and be parentally invested, at least from that side of the mating strategy anyways. For women, that's been a survival adaptation for sure of our species for a very long time. But only recently, only since, the 70s and 80s and up to where we are right now, have we decided that, a woman can be a man can be a woman. And we see this narrative played out in our popular media. We see it in Marvel superhero movies. We see it in, just on regular TV shows where it's the bad bitch who can take on anybody and she's just faster than you are and she can throw a punch and so therefore she can kick any guy's ass if they want to.
She was always the one that knows how to fix a car. Oh, you don't know how to change oil?
It's the myth.
Let me do it.
It's the myth of the warrior princess is what it is. You look at Mulan, right? You look at any of the Disney Pixar movies that have come out within the last, 15, 20 years. You look at the, you can even go as far back as gosh, even the 80s, like late 80s, that narrative has been something I think that Disney has been trying to force down our throats and it's a generational thing for a long time. And it's like, you know, women can be just as bad an ass as, they can be alpha females, right? They can be just as badass as a guy. But they're being held back by this patriarchal society, and we need to really put that down. Men need to be more in touch with their feelings and their emotions. And really what you're getting at, when, especially with the teacher here, you're looking at a priority that is being placed on emotionalism. And I've talked about this with Dr. Everett Piper before, is we are in the feels before reels generation. We are in the feels, but we do it in our politics, we do it in our religion, we do it in our popular media. Emotion trumps everything. It trumps your reality. It trumps, like, putting women into combat roles, for example.
Where do we see that played out?
Like, everywhere. I mean, right there. We just saw it just a second ago. Whatever it is, their emotions is more important, you just said this, than their education. My feelings are more, trump your, like, I'm gonna crow this to Instagram and social media. They finally gendered me correctly. Right? Oh, it's a good feel. We watched that one girl who
what kind of loser are you that you care? Like, if somebody just was genuinely like, hey, what's up, ma'am? I would just be like, no, hey, what's up? Like, I'm gonna be like,
right.
I'm not even just be like, oh, I'm actually not a woman. But like, I don't feel anything.
That's where that
heart.
Offense comes from.
I don't feel
right?
offended. I'm just like, I'm actually not a woman. But it's like, I would just think they're kind of retarded. Like, if they thought I was a woman, I'm assuming they're retarded. Not like, I'm not personally hurt by retarded people.
Well, we see appeals to emotion constantly, particularly on TikTok. We were just talking about that one woman with the baby, and she had to go back to work, and it's inhuman that she had to go. And you know, you look at the rest of her her TikTok videos on her profile, on her page, and everything, and it's pretty much her just like pandering for attention. But she knows how to get that attention through emotional appeals. And here we have this teacher, you know, talking about how great it is to how great a feeling it is. When her students, you know, gender her him or whatever the correct way, and it's all based on the emotional appeal of how did that make me feel, as opposed to no, there are men and there are women. Also, how does it make me feel when a woman is in a combat role, or she's a police officer, she's come into a classically, traditionally, conventionally male space. And she's the only woman there, and she's making inroads, and she's broken through the old, what we think is the old boys club. We're going to go, yay, good for you. But it's really, that's an emotional appeal. Whether she's functional in that role makes no difference. What the actual outcome, the pragmatic outcome of that is, no difference. Whatever the feeling is, that trumps everything else.
Pander politics. Mm-hmm. It is.
It's feels like, before reels.
Because it's always, yeah, exactly. It's always, well, my favorite thing is crime stats, right? This is that the 13% of the population committing over 50% of the violent crime. And you say that and people go, well, that is a racism. And you go, that's just an FBI crime statistic. And
they go, numbers aren't there. No numbers.
Yeah. They go, it's racist. What are you implying? You go,
that makes me feel bad because you showed me numbers that go against whatever my ego investments are in my particular ideology. It made me feel, it tastes bad. It made me feel bad. That's what it comes down to.
But this is the interesting thing.
I feel bad that you can't see these statistics for what they are.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Savannah had that too. With people say, like, well, I feel unsafe if you don't wear a mask. And it's like, well, I feel unsafe if you wear a mask. What was that, Savannah, that you said with somebody where someone was like, said that they, you know, felt a certain way, but you'd say, well, then if we're talking about feelings, then there's no way to judge whose feelings are more important. So we both can just disregard each other's feelings.
Well, we deify emotion. In my fourth book, The Rational Male Religion, I go into this in depth, is the new coming world religion. It's a syncretic religion, meaning we're going to amalgamate all these other religions and put them all together in one big, you know, sort of global world cult. And it's going to be based on emotionalism, and it will be ushered in by women is what it will be, the high priestess of the woke. And it's really becoming a religion at this point. You know, I was watching, maybe you've seen, I don't know, maybe here in Texas, but they have these placard cards, or these, you know, little lawn cards that some people put in front of their houses. And it'll say, in this house, we believe it, you know, no one is illegal. Gay people are people too. And then just run down this sort of woke, like litany of belief sets. And of course it's in a rainbow color. No one's illegal. So trust the science and any name the woke thing that you can put in like maybe four words. And it's this litany. And I'm looking at this, and I was walking by this, walking the dogs, I'm looking at it, I go, that is a statement of belief. This is what we believe kind of thing in this house. And I thought about that. And when you go to church, if you're a newcomer in like at least in evangelical churches anyways, you'll get that newcomer's packet. And that newcomer's packet will say, here's what we believe. This is our articles of faith in this church. We believe that, you know, the Bible is the unerring word of God and on down kind of thing. And I thought about that and I go, that is exactly the same thing. It's a statement of belief. And so when I was
It's a religious declaration. It's fully a humanist religion.
And every one of those is an emotional appeal. And it's all based on emotionalism. Well, I mean, we all assign. Yes, we believe. Well, I mean, if you look at
I'm going to get it up here.
If you can find a sign like that, it'd be great.
Yeah, let me get it up here.
But so I'm looking at that and I'm saying this is a religion that is based on feels. It's based on emotions. Well, I mean, most religions are based on emotions anyways. But when I'm looking at the sort of articles of faith. There you go. Yeah, right away. There you go. So
let's break this down.
Let's see. I gotta see if I can do this with my glasses. All right,
I can read it.
If you can read it.
Okay. So we believe it starts out with Black Lives Matter. So start with that phrase. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what's BLM? You know,
Black Lives Matter is subjective.
But
feelings.
But if we go and we dig into the nuts and bolts of what the organization is really about, well, if you go and do that, it's similar to what you said about. Well, here's the crime statistics. I can show you nuts and bolts. I can show you numbers. And people go, well, you know, that's not what I think it is. And so therefore it becomes their truth versus your truth, which of course is an emotional appeal. Whenever we're talking, like you'll see the Nike will run these ads, you know, living my truth. It's like Oprah, you know, Oprah truisms or aphorisms, right? I'm living my truth. No, there is the truth. And then there's your subjective interpretation of that truth. But the numbers are still the numbers. Reality is still going to punch you in the face, whether you're a woman or a man at some point. So when you look at those articles, that belief set, I looked at that and I said, this is really, it's the new visitors package, the packet that you get from a church.
It really is. And I'm going to say this with Black Lives Matter. You guys remember, like this was a whole subjective thing about, you know, well, do Black Lives Matter? And it was like, well, I mean, if you believe and you hold to a Christian worldview, then yes, all humans would matter, right? Mm-hmm. But if you don't believe in God, then we're talking about evolution, hierarchy, and I guess depending on what matters, just matters about what's the fittest. But obviously, as time went on, and we covered a lot of stuff with Black Lives Matter, and you guys know that I was in a lot of danger. People pointed multiple guns at me. I've been jumped by these Black Lives Matter people. And there's one thing that I had wished that I had had, which was I had a firearm on me, and I just didn't have any way to carry it. I didn't understand all the laws in every state I was going to, and it was actually illegal. Luckily, in Texas, we have concealed carry. We have constitutional carry, which is just for the sake of YouTube. This is not a real gun. This is a prop gun, actually. This is a prop custom Glock 19 that's from Alec Baldwin's set. And this is my concealed carrier. It's actually fully made from leather. It's handmade. It's absolute beautiful material. I know that you got to handle it a little bit before.
Yeah.
Well, it's quality.
Well, I got a gun like that, but I lost all of them in a tragic boating accident in the lake.
We can get into that later. Yeah. But I'm saying, so this clips on. I've had to use this is absolutely amazing. Guys, I also have their side holster as well. I don't know if we have the pictures of that of Savannah in it. Maybe we don't. It's okay. But I know Savannah has one as well. They're absolutely comfortable. That is the Scout chest holster, which I use when I'm exercising or I'm out, you know, whatever you're doing. It's very comfortable. It buckles in. And I also have their belt system, the sling for my AR. I mean, every single system that you could want. This is an American company. This is the most high-quality USA-made products. They are I am telling you this, they can custom make them for hundreds of different firearms. And I hate to say this, but everyone that's going to see it is going to be jealous because these are not weird, lame looking stuff. If you're like me, like I actually like things to look cool. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to get a gun,
I need
a cool
sling. Now that I think about it, I mentioned a sling.
You do need a sling. Yeah. And so get them, guys. Support them. They are a huge company that supports us as well. When I say huge, I mean huge deal to me, but it is a small company and you support a small business by supporting NW Retention. Go to nwretention.com. That's nwretention.com and enter the promo code OFFENSIVE, OFFENSIVE to save 10%. And you guys, you don't even need to save 10% because they're just so affordable and so amazing. They have so many different designs. They're amazing. I love them. Please get the best system. You care about your gun? What about what your gun is held in? It might actually save your life. It saved many people's before. I've actually had to use this. I've had people approach me. Anyway, it came in handy. I'm not going to get into this because I don't want YouTube to take that down. But
Check it out, nwretention.com. Use promo code offensive to save 10%. So as we said, the Black Lives Matter, that's what I said. They mattered so much that they thought anybody who disagreed with them didn't matter. That was funny.
You notice that, and if you want to bring that up again, love is love. There's your emotion right there. Love is an emotion, right? Love is love. Really what that is saying, you know, gay people are, love doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the love comes, where it comes from. It's all about love. It's all about healing, right?
It's the biggest one too.
Really what's that? I mean, remember when gay marriage was ratified back in 2015, it was a federal, and they turned the White House, you know, rainbow colors. What was the first thing out of anyone's mouth was love wins. Now there's your emotionalism right there. Follow your heart. You'll see it in every damn Disney movie that there is. Follow your heart. It will never lead you astray. The right decision is the one that your heart is telling you to go towards, which is like completely, you know, against anything that would be like, well, follow your head, man. Why don't you make good, educated choices and go that way? That seems like a whole lot better than just following an emotional side of things. And so when we look at our politics today, when we look at our social order, as it were, when I talk to my guys, it's like it's all about wearing sort of the red pill lens. And I think that part of that red pill lens is seeing the narrative here. So it's all about, if it's all about emotion, it's all about love, it's all about this, then what's the opposite of that? What's the, how do I tribalize that placard, right? If you're against this, then you're against love. You're a hate. You're all about hate. It must be about, you're a hater.
Right.
You're intolerant.
Well, the truth goes away. Like, look at this right here. So I'm sure you're familiar with the Jussie Smollett case, right? I saw my favorite meme was literally, life's hard. Don't beat yourself up, quote Jussie Smollett. Okay, but anyway, it's just true. Don't beat yourself up. But, you know, Jussie Smollett beat himself up. All the evidence shows he planned the fake hate crime. And Black Lives Matter, we were just talking about.
Kamala Harris jumped all over that, too. Well, yeah. She's got a very famous tweet as a result of that.
Right, and they were friends, but Black Lives Matter, I mean, this is just the other day, during the trial, when all the evidence came out, said, we can never believe police, especially the Chicago Police Department, CPD, over Jussie Smollett, a black man. I'm just going to end it there. It's our vocal, it's our struggle for black freedom. Mm-hmm. That's where you said where the belief comes in. It's like, well, all the evidence shows this man staged his attack. There's video evidence, there's financial evidence, there's testimony. This is not like, there's no question on these things. These are the people involved. Mm-hmm. It's a very simple
setup.
Yeah. And so you look at this and they go, well, but, you know, he's black. So that's what matters to us most.
What feels,
place. We feel better because we want a black man to be innocent. Mm-hmm. He's not innocent, but he's black. And we know black people have been attacked. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to get his back and we're going to defend him, even if he doesn't deserve to be defended. And that's what's scary to me about this whole gender thing. It's like, if a man joins a woman's sport and is beating women, he's cruel and he's an abuser and he's ruining women's lives. That's nothing to celebrate. Not only is it nothing to ignore, it's something to condemn and try to root out. Mm-hmm. We want to root out, whether you're a Christian, you're an atheist, whether you're a libertarian, conservative, or liberal, it doesn't really matter. You want a well-functioning society that has laws, rules, and parameters that make sense.
Right.
And what
are those based on? And what are those parameters? What are the rules? What are the laws? How are we going to organize society? Are we going to base it on statistics and rational, you know, information, education? Are we going to base it on reality? Or are we going to base it on how it makes us feel? Because right now, really, since the sexual revolution anyways, we have been doing it based on how things make us feel. And as we were talking about last night, it's like we're living in an age of emotion. Everything, like for instance, you know, we can ignore all of the empirical data that says the guy's guilty, right? Because that doesn't play well. That doesn't, like, people aren't going to change their minds. They're going to make that decision based on how that information made them feel. So if cops are the bad guys, that makes me feel enraged. I mean, think about the range of emotions that a human being can feel. That's anger, outrage, disgust, empathy, sympathy, you know, that kind of stuff. What is this information making me feel? And how does it conflict with what I believe? And what's the data that is conflicting with that? If we're building a society that is based on just about emotion, then yeah, that's how you get men and women sports. That's how you get dangerous battlefield conditions, because we put a woman into a combat role that she should never have been put in there, because we want to maintain the narrative that makes us feel really good about it. And as you were saying before, I'm sure you're familiar with J.K. Rowling, who really agitated the trans community lately by saying, you know, a woman is a woman and a man is a man. And now everybody wants to boycott, you know, Harry Potter as a result of this. And I thought what was interesting about that is that even when, like, for instance, when a man goes into a female sport and he dominates that sport, we said, then we start thinking about, well, is a man a woman or a woman a man? But you don't see it the opposite way around. We don't want men to be women. We only want women to be men at this point. We want women to get into the old boys club. We want them to be the first woman in NASCAR, the first woman who plays in the Masters at Augusta or something, because it's an old boys club, right? We want women to get into these positions which were traditionally masculine male spaces and come in there and be the first chick that ever did that and then change that space up as a result of that. But when we have an all-female space, like women's sports in this case, the man coming in there, he's illegitimate. A man can't be a woman at that point. And so therefore they get really upset because now the narrative of emotionalism is playing against them because we don't want to see the opposite happen.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And it's interesting though, because like as we talk about this, they also realize that there are problems with gender, but it's not the problems that they don't want to see. So it's kind of interesting. They select the problems through gender that they choose. So like a good example of this is the New York Post wrote that that woke wannabe film critics are canceling Christmas classics over toxic masculinity. This is from the New York Post. It says, woke wannabe critics are attempting to cancel some of the most beloved holiday films in history, calling out problematic plot lines and characters in movies such as Love Actually and The Holiday. While many Americans find comfort in reruns of these films, some Scrooge-like viewers claim that Christmas classics should be thrown out like an unwanted gift. And it's not just those relatively recent holiday films that are attracting the ire of politically correct users on Twitter. Movies made as far back as the 1940s are also being targeted by the Twitterverse for racism and misogyny. And so they want to cancel The Holiday. They want to cancel It's a Wonderful Life. They want to cancel The Santa Claus. They want to cancel Jingle All the Way and Love Actually. And so what's crazy is they do this because it's toxically masculine. And so they go, well, yeah, you know, there are boundaries in gender. There are boundaries in expression. Basically, there is a way that you should be and there's a way that you shouldn't be. That's all I read from this is like there's a proper way for genders to act and to behave. But also you can become a woman and compete in women's sports. You go, what the hell are you talking about? Because what you're just doing is you're denying like toxic masculinity, where'd that even come from?
Right. Well, toxic masculinity, of course, is to qualify, to qualify men and how men are, to disqualify certain aspects of masculinity. It used to be that there was toxic masculinity and then were approved aspects of what I've called conventional masculinity. So the things that were useful, those weren't the toxic things. Like you got to be nurturing. So really to be the more perfected male today is to be a woman, is just to turn into a woman at this point. Because the more you align with the feminine, the more you get in touch with your emotions. You get, again, an age of emotions. The more you express yourself, men should cry and they should nurse and get a little, milk bag and nurse their children. Yeah. Become more like a woman and then you will become a more perfected man. And the problem with that is it goes against the reality. The reality is that the machine, our evolutionary firmware, our evolutionary, what we are as human beings isn't that. And women really don't want that. They don't want a guy who's like, I'm sure you've heard of the term chore play. Have you heard of chore
play? No.
Chore play is when you do the dishes, right? Or you go and you do the laundry, or you change the baby, because women, it's supposed to free women up to like feel more amorous towards you, right? If you want to have a baby, right? It's doing the dishes, so doing more domestic chores around the house in the mistaken idea that your wife or your girlfriend or whatever is going to want to have sex with you as a result of that. And so therefore they call it chore play. Well, that's been around. I've been reading chore play articles since probably about 2005, 2007 somewhere. And they go back and forth. Now chore play is for real. Now it's not. Or now women do get off on guys doing chores around the house, but they got to be mowing the lawn and changing the oil in the car and doing something that's a little bit more masculine. And the whole thing is really rooted around this idea that men ought to be more feminine. We ought to be to be a more perfected guy is to throw away the things that make you a man, which is in some cases aggression, the things that make a guy a good savior, that make him a good rescuer, that make him a good a warrior. Those things end up being the same things that also make him, you know, run into a burning building to go save the baby out of the burning building. You don't get that without the guy being, you know, aggressive and mate guarding and wanting to, you know, defend himself and be in a combat sports kind of thing. It's you get one without the other. But women and this social order has tried to feminize guys to say, okay, how are we going to do that? We'll disqualify those aspects, but we're going to reinforce and rebuild all of the feminine attributes. Then we'll call that masculinity now. That's it's no longer your masculinity, or because that's patriarchy. So now we have to qualify it with a qualifier like toxic masculinity. But again, going back to how does it make them feel? What is the priority? What rationalism, objectivism, real your truth versus the truth, all of that doesn't feel good. So if we have a generation after generation of men who are essentially just sort of dysfunctional, defective women, then you can weaken a society as a result of that. Now, did you see, you probably covered this during 2020 when they were pulling down statues and they're pulling down these monuments right. everywhere, and they're spraying, graffiti all over, Alexander Hamilton, right? Or George Washington or Lincoln or whatever, the founding father statues. And the first thing out of people's mouths was this. They said, don't these dumb kids know the history behind this guy? He freed the slaves. He's, didn't they take their history in college? And my answer to that is yes, they do. And they don't care. They didn't care back then. They wanted an emotional rush out of you. They wanted to prompt you to an emotional response because that's all they know. It's only emotion. They know. They probably have they understand the history of these guys. Otherwise, you wouldn't be pulling them down. But it's not about that. It's about creating an emotional appeal because we live in an age of emotion.
Yeah, and it didn't accomplish anything. It's the key thing. It's like there was no accomplishment from all of this.
They didn't realize how lazy people were.
Well, yeah, it was like we got the statue down. You're like, well, that doesn't do anything. Because I find this so interesting, the argument too about progress with genders and stuff. Mm-hmm. Is that like, it seems as people keep saying that we're making progress with these deconstructive modes to tear down the family, to mm-hmm. break down art, to break down buildings, mm-hmm. et cetera, that they still say that the problems that they were trying to defeat in the process are bigger and worse than ever. Mm-hmm. It's funny. With everything we've done for climate change, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're still going to die in 12 years from climate change. From everything we've done to fight the pandemic, COVID, more people are dying today than they were at this time last year during when they said that President Trump didn't care about people because so many people were dying. And then under Biden, more people are dying per week. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, so what changed? And it's like
the
so
emotion of fear is more powerful than the stats that you can
give. Exactly. And that's what I meant is like with gender, it's like, well, you know, we had to change everything because people were racist and sexist. And you're like, mm-hmm. you guys are still complaining about the same thing today. You're still saying men are internally misogynistic and sexist, which I think is kind of based, but also it's like the fact that, what do you mean by that? Right. It's what do you mean by sexist and misogynistic? Mm-hmm. Like, do you mean like in a feminist way, or in the fact that men know their roles and they understand women and they understand they can't understand women, I should say, and that mm-hmm. the women and men are vehemently different, that we have separate roles in society, and that, mm-hmm. you know, there's always outliers and there's always, things in life are unpredictable. So, you know, a man who was molested when he was younger could behave different than a man who wasn't. A man whose parent dies when he's younger could behave differently than a man who had both parents at home. Sure, we understand there are differences based on trauma or different things, but ultimately men are men, women are women. Mm-hmm. Men can be redeemed, women can be redeemed, and then can learn, no matter what their situations are, or women, how to become what God designed them to be. But now what's happening is, like, I feel like we haven't abandoned the idea that there's a way men and women should be. We've just created a new order that goes against mm-hmm. nature. That's like a human constructed version of, like, well, here's what a man is and a woman, and you need to form into this. And it's actually working to destabilize our country, because women are starting to act more like men and men are acting more like women. And I still love we talked about this last night after the show, is like, I love those loser guys that think like, yeah, well, I'm buff and, you know, and so I'm a man. It's like, well, you're not married. You don't have any offspring. You're not making any money. You're not
producing.
You're not reproducing. You're not making any money. You're not making an influence. You're not making an impact. You're, I mean, you don't have to make money.
You're only, good at one side. You're only good at one part of it.
Yeah, you got one part, buddy. Mm-hmm. Like, which I'm not mocking him. It's just like, it's cool. You got one thing down. Mm-hmm. There's like 30 aspects here that you need to work on still. Mm-hmm. So what are those aspects? Like, how do men become who they want to be? Every man's like, mm-hmm. I know who I want to be. How do we get there? What does that mm-hmm. look like for us?
Here's the famous quote, make money, make muscles, learn game. That's what it comes down to. And by learn game, I mean like be socially savvy, understand the nature of men and the nature of women, understand your role, God-given role of being a dominant masculine man, embracing that. I think one of the problems that most guys have right now is they're afraid to change their minds about themselves. So we want to call it, that's just this macho toxic masculinity kind of stuff. Well, when you hear that over and over again for your entire life, then you start to question things like that. I think that since the sexual revolution, we have done two things to masculinity. One is we have either blurred the lines, like we've obfuscated it, we've made it something that's unknowable, or we've made it something that's kind of confusing to most guys. When I talk to guys, they'll say, I don't know how do I network with guys? They don't even know how to be men with other men. They don't know how to they don't know how to like rib people. Like, well, as soon as I met you, it's like we start talking and we communicate like men communicate. There's a language that men speak and there's a language that women speak. Men tend to speak like more overtly. We say what we mean and we mean what we say. And if I'm with you, if I push you or whatever like that, you push me back on the basketball court or whatever else, or, you know, wherever you're at. It's just that
drink
kind
of a few beers, beat the shit out of each other.
I call you a white mother. You know, whatever it is, I can go and give you grief, right? And you know, I'm not serious. Like, guys insult each other as like sort of a form of like, I get you, right? For women, maybe it's like, let's go have coffee at you know, Starbucks and catch up.
Yeah, like, I love
it's covert.
Like, you know, here's what God's really been showing me recently.
Yeah.
Hey, I've been praying for you. And like, here's what the Lord's been showing me in my life. It's just sweet. It's mm-hmm. a very feminine
but
thing. And guys are like, bro, I've been messing up. I'm looking at porn a lot. It's like, bro, I get it. It's like, that's how the dudes are. It works.
We have an overt form of communication. But what's happened really over the last, I would argue, four generations, but certainly the last two, is that men can't separate the just like screwing around with each other from bullying or from mm-hmm. hazing or whatever. They don't understand, why is this guy pushing me? You know, because they don't know how to relate as men. That's why men don't have women complain all the time that older guys don't have like their husbands or whatever, don't have a network of friends. Right, because you're talking about a generation of guys who've never really had that that social education, that learning education, so that they can actually talk like guys. And so when you meet a guy who can do that, you're like, oh, cool, fine, like a guy I can work with. So that's number one. Number two is so masculinity has been like blurred or obfuscated, and then it's been subjectivized like anything else. You can be whatever. I could never understand what being a man is all about, so I'm just going to make up my truth, and that's going to be whatever masculinity is. And then you get to the social construction side of things. And so it becomes this subjective understanding of what masculinity is. So when a guy says, well, I'm buff and built, but he's actually homosexual. Well, is he masculine or is he feminine? What is that? And so we get to define that for ourselves all of a sudden, rather than having a concrete, conventional definition of what masculinity really is. So you've got that. So you got guys who are fat. We need to, these are the easy parts. You got the guys who are fat. We need to get guys in the gym, right? You need to get guys who are trimming down, who are building themselves up physically. And that's not just so you look better. It's also so you feel better well.
You feel confident. Women start noticing you.
You know, sleep better. Yeah.
Women, this is the crazy thing. Women notice chest and arms. They really do. Mm-hmm. And you start to notice, especially we talked about, you know, as you get older, especially then women are like, it's a sign of like protection. It's a lot of things
protection.
For them. You know, I mean, it's aesthetic. Provision. It is aesthetic.
That's why that's why women select for height as well.
Is so, that why? Why mm-hmm. is that? I never knew about
yes,
that.
Yes, because, women will always go, like the one universal, I guess, arousal/attraction cue for women is height. Across cultures, across the world, a guy who is taller than, now, do you have to be 6 foot, I don't know, whatever you are, 6'4", do you have to be that tall? Maybe not, but you got to be taller than her. That's really what it kind of boils down to. So there's the physical aspect that guys need to develop, and I don't think we're doing that well enough, certainly not in Western countries. And then, of course, there's the financial aspect, which we talked about last night. You've got to be economically attractive. There's all of these little areas that, and I'm not saying just, you know, become economically attractive for women. I'm just saying that to be on your game, you've got to cover at least those bases so that you can be sort of what women will call like the full complete package.
And people discount that too. It's like, it's like, and you notice every movie is like, I did notice this. I go, it's so funny that
When I watched old movies, you're trying to think like, oh, the family's so snooty and these arranged marriages and, oh, they don't want him to marry the poor boy. And you go, no, it's because that family understands they're mature. They're in their 50s and they understand that young people are immature and they're trying to say, look, I understand you like this person, but life is more than just feelings. That's the whole point, that we are a family of status, that there's wealth, that there's more to marriage than just I'm horny and I like this person, because you can be horny and like a lot of people. And they also know how women are, that you can actually gain attraction for people. Even that's why there's no evidence that modern love-based marriages are working out better than arranged marriages. I've looked into that myself. Like, there's no proof that one works out. I mean, that the new form of marriage is helping people last longer or not get divorced. Essentially speaking, is that people even look today most off of feelings. And that's why I think why divorces are so high. Cause like I talked to a, I'm not going to say, I can't say any much here, but sometimes I look at people that I know and I try to give them relationship advice because I'm like, you don't realize that in 10 years you're going to despise that person. And I think you're going to divorce them because I can see where their goals are and I see where your goals are. And you as a woman are no longer going to like that man because you're going to see that you think he's cool now when you're at this age. 10 years from now, he's going to be a loser compared to all your friends' husbands. So it's going to cause stress because you're going to feel inadequate and you're going to feel like you're going to be higher caliber than your man. And that's not a good thing.
You notice that when you give advice, whether it's male or female, like I get this the other way around. It's I'll tell guys, like I'll get questions from guys who will say, my brother's going to marry this complete bitch. He's going down a dark path. She's totally manipulative of him. And he just doesn't see it because he's got one-itis or she's a soulmate, whatever. And how do I break him out, Rolo? How do I do that? Well, I can give you advice all day long. I can probably help you with that. The problem is like giving advice, like relationship advice, particularly coming from a guy, because women are supposed to be the ones who understand all this mystical, you know, relationship thing. We understand love. We have this magical empathy for, you know, for other people. But if a guy does that, it's usually from a practical standpoint. And you're, again, having that clash between emotionalism versus reason at that point. And so the guy says, well, here's the reasons why you should not be with this person right here. But for me as a man to say that, If I try to get you and I said, hey, you're on heroin, I'm going to help you break the addiction, or you smoke cigarettes, that's very unhealthy, I'm going to help you with that. Like, guys, okay, great, you're going to help me with my health. But if I go, don't marry that girl because your life will go to hell because you're marrying this girl, then suddenly I'm the asshole. Because we want to believe that love conquers all. We see it, like you were just mentioning a minute ago, is we prioritize the poor guy. I don't know why this is even still a thing, because women don't really follow this, but the poor pauper who the princess really loves, and he's the sandwich artist at Subway, and it's just love conquers all kind of, the love wins, right?
That's literally every movie.
Instead of her marrying the other guy that her family wanted her to marry, but she's not in love with him, so she followed her heart and she married the barista kind of guy, and now and they lived happily ever after because she followed her heart, and that's the message of that story. That's what you're supposed to take home. Well, that's the emotional appeal, and that's not how real life works. Sometimes you have to actually use your head to make good, educated decisions. I'm not discounting emotion. I'm just saying that we need to prioritize a more reasonable, rational decision-making process over, oh, love conquers all and just follow your heart and you'll never fail.
Yeah, I know. And I know that as we get into that, guys, I'm going to tell you what doesn't fail. It's your Second Amendment rights, which a lot of you think is just guns. And it's really not. A lot of it is about protecting yourself and being that alpha, and also protecting your family. And they look to you for that, which is why you got to get body armor from AR500armor.com. Now, I'm not going to just tell you to go get armor that I don't own. I own this. Savannah owns this. I wear this. You can find a lot of pictures of me wearing this on the field. But some of you are like, well, why do I need body armor? Well, shit's been hitting the fan, guys. We actually don't know what's going to happen. And everyone knows, well, I need a gun and I need bullets. True. Not discounting that. But remember, bullets can go in two directions, buddy. And so when they come flying at you, don't be left in the gutter and realize that you do need a carrier plate system or something concealable that is made either for a small frame, large frame. It doesn't matter if you don't know anything about this. It is so easy. If you just go to AR500armor.com, AR500armor.com, you can view all the promotions and Christmas sales that are running right now. And if you use the code OFFENSIVE, you get 25% off anything else in their entire store. It's the best time to prepare yourself, and AR500 Armor is having their best sale of the year. Plan right now for how to protect yourself, your family, your friends for the future. I swear, guys, woman, no man's going to be pissed if you buy them armor. And quite frankly,
women will, I don't know if women will love for Christmas, but get it for them anyways for Christmas. If you can tell your wife, look, I had to get this for you. And also your sons, everything. Who doesn't want to look cool and take a picture in like a carrier plate? Get them something cool and fun that also protects. And it's really amazing. It's so easy. It's affordable. Go to AR500armor.com. Go to AR500armor.com/offensive right now to get 25% off using the promo code offensive. I encourage you to check it out. I actually wear that armor all the time. It's really comfortable.
I need some.
It's actually, yeah, I know. They just wrote me the other day. They're like, can we have more?
You know, it's funny. One thing I never talk about on my show is like firearms or with probably good idea, you know, on YouTube. But I don't talk about firearms all that much. And so sometimes people ask me and say, do you have guns and stuff? I'm like, yeah, I do. I just don't talk about that because I don't, if you're coming to my house, I want you to think that I don't have guns.
Right.
I don't get into that too much.
But there are gun guys. There are gun guys. There's so many of these guys. Like they're like car guys and gun guys. And then there are just like, this is, I am a lot of the audience is like that, where they're like, they understand what I'm talking about, where I'm not like, I'm just my own person. Like I'm a man because I was born a man. And I'm figuring out life myself. And I don't like know a ton about guns, but I have them.
Are your parents still together? Your dad?
My mom's dead.
Okay. Your dad's still around?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He doesn't own any guns.
Mm-hmm. Was he influential to you? I don't mean to psychoanalyze you. I'm just like wondering like what your model for masculinity was.
What I think is because I love my dad a lot. He's always was there for me and very there. Mm-hmm. But I think that he came from an abusive home, and his dad, who's now, he's repented and changed his life, right? He became a Christian and stuff like that. So I really do, things have changed. Mm-hmm. And I think that his, like there was maybe sort of like a generational of issues to where I don't think that I had any role models in my life of what a man was. And this is going to sound so racist, but like a lot of the people I just grew up with were like blue collar, fat Mexican people, which is like not a mean thing. Cause I love Mexican people. And
you grew up in LA. That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
I grew up in inner city LA as well.
I didn't know any like not only non-strong, like strong men. I didn't know any like strong Caucasian dudes with similar culture, anything like that. Cause my mom raised me very much in like a very Caucasian culture mindset, like just everything. Like, you know, it'd be like, hey, like I know she was serious about it. She'd be like, hey, you're not going to say foo. You're not going to be like, you know, we're going to wear colored shirts. You're going to do, this is kind of the life we're going to live. We live in LA, but we're going to live like we live in Orange County in terms of, I'm going to raise you like this. So I was more raised with a dominant mother. Mm-hmm. rather than a dominant father. And I would say that she was more of the influence. And what's so crazy is I ended up being a little more of the non-violent, non-threatening, laugh at yourself, self-deprecating person. And my brother literally became the textbook definition of toxically masculine.
Was he older or younger?
Yeah, older. If he's watching this, he's not actually toxically masculine, but he's the kind of guy who like, you know, the left's version, like he punches holes in walls when he's mad, screams at his neighbors, like not going to have any
high
kids.
Yeah.
Just, you know, always working out, extremes, gains 10 pounds, loses 30, gets shredded, like buys shit and guns. Like he's just like the very,
he's into being a dude.
Yeah. Just very much there. And if you look, and he's also shorter and went bald younger. So it's like, so we're very polar opposites. So it's like, that's what I realized. I was like in my 20s, I'm like, I've never been around any good examples of people who are men that I'd emulate. I never really like saw like a guy and went, I want to be that person or like that person until I got into the internet and into the world of seeing real men operate, not the grifters, but real men, and listening to men who could think and talk and make their own and entrepreneurs. And I've just been on a journey since I was like 24, 25 now. And I left all that shit behind. I like broke up with my girlfriend. I left my church. I left school. I just started over and I just reset my life. I left all my friends and that's how I'm here. I did a full 180.
Yeah. I think a lot of guys are looking for, the dad they never had right now. I mean, when Jordan Peterson was a big deal back in like 2017, 2018, I heard that go around a lot. You know, we got the Lost Boys generation. We got guys who are, they want that information. They want to have that education that they missed out on because either they had a very passive beta male father, or they simply didn't have a father, or they had a mother who was more domineering because she believed she could wear all the hats. She could be, I don't need a father. I've got my mom because my mom was raised me better. Or they've got a stepfather that's just, you know, here today and gone tomorrow kind of thing. But I think we have a generation, certainly the latter half of the millennials and Generation Z right now, where that that model, and I don't want to say, you know, gender role model, but I mean like the model for masculinity is absent. And as we keep going, when we want to you know, remove movies like It's a Wonderful Life, or we get because of feels, and we don't want to have like, oh, here's what happened in the past. We're trying to erase what masculinity was in the past, and we're also making it impossible to know what it is in the future, so that we have this generation after generation of very weak men that we talked about last night. And we get to a point where you're much a docile, sedated guy who doesn't understand masculinity, who doesn't understand how to network, who doesn't understand how to you know, make money or anything like that. Those guys are, of course, you've got a generation of guys who drop out. They don't want to, they're not going to school because it's full of communists or whatever, you know, they don't want to go to school. They don't want to, you know, they do want to get a job that's just enough to support their lifestyle, or, you know, keep them in mom's basement kind of thing. And they just want to go along to get along. And but what doesn't change is that hunger for the guy, for a male masculine role model, so that they can understand, you know, biologically speaking, a man still wants to know that kind of stuff, even if it's hidden from him or it's become subjectivized. And women want those guys as well. They're like, even the most ardent feminist still wants to get with the alpha male guy, and she doesn't know why, because her biology is prompting her to want to get with that type of guy. And for men, it's the same thing. Like, they almost feel bad about wanting to get with the guy who would be the polar opposite of what they're supposed to want, because of this media, because of this this social order that convinces them that that's what they ought to want.
But I felt lied to.
And so they have a crisis.
This is the crisis, though. And yeah. I think people, you know, there's too many loud voices this is why I try to say these things. I know people watching that don't speak up because of the people that are speaking up. Mm-hmm. They think that's everybody, but those are just a few percent of people who engage and are out there. But there's a huge amount of people that watch this show, that listen, mm-hmm. that aren't typing comments, that aren't speaking out, that are just normal people mm-hmm. hanging out, that are just like in the same position, where I genuinely thought I was on the right path as a man. I'm like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm like dating a virgin, and like, I'm like working at a church, and I went to Bible college. I'm in college, etc.
Met her in church camp.
Yeah. Just like, I'm there. And I'm like, I don't mean to be rude here, 'cause I'm not talking about everybody. And if you're watching this and you're from that life, if you're watching this and you're from that life, this is probably not you, 'cause mm-hmm. you're watching this. And so you mm-hmm. were probably actually friends and know things. But I'm like, all these people who try to speak into my life, like, I mean this respectfully. It's like, dude, not that you're a loser, but like, I don't want your life, dude. Like, and when I realize that, you know, people, this is what you should be doing, it's like, you didn't achieve much. And that's okay, because I'm not judging you. Don't pull me down. I want to break out of this system. And I feel like there's like this net for men that keeps them from seeing their true potential. Mm-hmm. And part of that is, and then once you break out, you get into the world, you're like, okay, I don't know what the fuck is going on. You're like, I've left all my safety nets. I'm now fully on adventure mode. Like, I'm just like, mm-hmm. now you won't have any money. Well, maybe, because maybe you quit your job. You know, like a lot of guys do this. Just like, quit. Mm-hmm. Before you have a crisis, you just go, okay, I'm just going to change. I'm going to just blank slate. Let's refigure out what life is about. What is, what I can be, what I should be, where's my place in this world? Mm-hmm. And then you get out there and there's these like, just losers. Like, that's what I know now, that are these guys mm-hmm. that are like, oh yeah, you want to try to be a man, you're wearing tight pants.
And you're would like, you want to trade places with them?
No,
how do you vet your guru? Would you really want to trade places with them? If you could trade lives with them, would you trade lives with them? Is that, I mean, I think that's probably the best place to start. And I'm glad you brought this up, because we're, again, the dad I never had, people such as myself, such as you, influencers, we even call them influencers right now, whether it's, you know, on TikTok or Instagram, but who's influencing you? And would you want to trade lives with that influencer? It right now, because guys aren't go like this Lost Boys generation, they're not going to college. They're, you know, maybe they had a weak male father or no father at all in the home. Or they see examples of very weak emotionalized men in media or whatever. And they say, okay, well, that's the only model for masculinity that I have. And I can't go watch It's a Wonderful Life anymore because it made somebody feel bad. So I can't go back in history and look at the archives of how men used to be. So where do I get my information? Well, the answer to that is guys are looking online, in the manosphere, in the red pill communities. We don't advertise, man. they come to us because they're at a point of crisis where they're like you said, hit the reset button. They go through a point, like they break up with a girlfriend or somebody, the death in the family. They get to a point of trauma, a point of crisis, and they start asking these questions because that prompts them to insight. And they start looking for a teacher. Because the teacher, they're not going to school to find a teacher. They didn't have a teacher in the home. They don't know how to relate with men. They don't know how to relate with women. You get this incel generation, but there's still the biology, the evolutionary imperative that pushes them to want that. That's the reality side of it. They're still looking for that. And who's there? Who's available? A guy selling his, 97-page ebook on Gumroad to how to be a real man kind of thing. And if you didn't like that one, there's several more that he had before as well, or take their
pick
portion.
Up artists,
what has evolved from the PUAs anyways. But those are the teachers. And I've made this point on my panel show, Rule Zero, and my own show as well, is that we have to be careful right now because we're the teachers. We're the class is in session. I even make a euphemism. When you come to see my show on Sundays, I'm there for 3 hours and it's like, I expect you to take notes. I expect this to be like almost like a classroom setting, because that's what we end up doing. And I don't think that the people who are getting into this as like sort of a hustle or their niche market or their funnel marketing thing, they don't realize that they're influencing a generation of guys who never had fathers. They never had a positive, conventional, masculine role model without toxic being attached to it, or get in touch with your emotional side of things. I see guys like Justin Baldoni on Man Enough or something like that, and I'm going, you are going exactly the opposite of the direction that you ought to be going, Mr. Man Bun Barista dude. And he's basically just this male feminist with the show that's promoting more male feminism. You're a teacher, man. I don't care what you're selling. I don't care what your grift is. You're still influencing a generation of men who are looking to you for that, for a good example or like a successful example, something that they can work with, the tools. And that's what I try to do on my own show is I'm not in the business of making men better men. I'm in the business of giving you the tools and giving you the information so that men can make themselves better men. And when you're vetting your guru, the first thing you need to ask is, would I change lives with that? I've been married for 25 years. My daughter's 23 years old. People always give me grief. In fact, they were giving me grief last night online about, well, Rolo's married. Yeah, I am married. He speaks out against marriage. I go, yeah, because I think the way we do marriage right now we went down a very dark path. It's an all downside risk for men right now. If you look at it from a conventional, legalistic, financial set, it's an unconscionable contract. I'm not against marriage per se. Obviously,
I've been
married.
Just a legal definition of what they're trying to make it.
The way we do it now, I have to be against that. I would not advise men to do that.
No, I want to say this.
Covenant marriage is what Dr. Everett Piper calls it. Yeah, okay, that I can get behind. But when it comes to getting married right now, I can't advocate for that.
No,
people say, would you get married again? No, I would not get married again.
I wouldn't have gotten married to anybody but my wife. I tell people this all the time. Like, should I get married? I go, look, I was even talking to this. We had a guest here named Nick Fuentes who doesn't really like, he just actually doesn't like women. And he says he's a proud incel. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting perspective, right?
I'm familiar.
And so I talked to him a little bit. I don't try to get too much in the off record stuff, but he was here in the studio and I was just telling him like, bro, listen, man, like I actually, like, I get what you're saying facetiously because like when I say things all the time that piss people off and they don't get the context. When I say like, I hate women. I mean, I love women actually so much that I hate what the society has told women they should be and how women pretend they are. But I love classy, traditional, lovely ladies. And I actually love them so much that it's like, I tell people, I actually with marriage too, think marriage is a trap. But if you get into a marriage with someone who one doesn't believe in divorce, number two understands that like, we're not like buddies. Like we're a man and a woman. Right. We're in a relationship.
We're not
together.
Best friends. We're man and wife.
Right. And even when we hang out with other couples, the men go hang out together, the women hang out together and we can still have our own separate friends, et cetera, and our own spaces.
Polarity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's, we don't need to, always talk and understand every part of each other. And sometimes we just don't get each other and it's okay. And we just can, we can discuss things over time. We don't have to figure it out today. We have years to talk through things and try to understand one another and work together. And it's like, we don't fight in my marriage very much. We have discussions because we're very distinct in who we are. And I go, I would be divorced. If I would have gotten married to the women that I thought that I wanted to, just some like hot chick who wanted to bang, 6 months would have divorced. I'm not, I mean, call me a shitty person, but I'm like, women living with a woman as a man would drive you nuts. If you try to be in this best friend bang thing, she'll stop having sex with you in 6 months anyways. So now those are off limits. But if you have this relationship where now your wife knows that you're like the Bible says, like, don't deny your spouse. And that she knows that as I provide for her, that she even says, you know, she told a feminist that we know, she was like, yeah, if my husband ever asked me to have sex, I would never deny him. And she's like, what? Like, kind of freaked out at her. And she was like, no, because I know that that's needed. If he needs it, then he needs it. Like, you know, if he's asking, then he's not, then he's going to go look at porn, or he's going to go cheat on me maybe one day. And I'm going to protect that from, you know, from happening type of thing. And so it's like, I realized that everything that I've been told is a lie. Even the Christian marriages that I saw, they're horrible. I don't want that.
Yes.
I like my marriage. I have a fun marriage. It's a good marriage. Because we're different and we're not going to divorce because we know that. So it's a lifelong covenant commitment. But that's what I'm saying is, like, a lot of people out there, it's like, when you think about that, what you're saying, I'm saying this from the true of my heart, is like, everyone that you think around you that pressures you and, like, not bullies you, but that social pressure of, like, this is how you should be. Do you want what they have? Like, is that really what you want? When you look at society and what's going on, are you happy? Like,
not
emotionally happy. Are you content, I should say? Are you fulfilled in the terms of fullness of who you were designed to be? And I would say people out there are living to please other people. I think people are miserable. I'm not talking about just emotions, like feelings in the day. I'm talking about, like, overall, people are miserable. That's why they're searching, but they're so afraid to search because it's so hard to admit that maybe I was wrong.
Yeah. Or going against what has, actually, this is a psychological term. It's called ego investments. Okay. And what an ego investment is it's a personal belief. It can be political, religious, whatever it is, you know, just social kind of thing. An ego investment is a belief in something that is so personal to you that it is intrinsic to your personality. So if religion's an easy one, right? If somebody tells you, you know, God is dead, God's not real, or you're a Republican and they're a Democrat and they can tell you all why you're an asshat because you're a Republican, right? If your political affiliation, your religious affiliation, whatever it is, maybe even your racial, tribal, you know, affiliation is attacked and in no uncertain terms, like is empirically attacked, you will associate, but if you have an ego investment, you will associate that belief with your own personality. What it's like saying is, like, you're not living your life right. You didn't raise your kids right. Your mom didn't raise you right. Your dad didn't raise you right because you believe in this. And so it's not an attack on the actual belief. It's an attack on you personally. So when somebody attacks, like, say, whatever your most deeply held belief is, then it's attack on you. And so people get really, really upset about that. So when we're talking about ego investments, when people have to reassess those on their own as a result of going through a crisis or a trauma, that's a really, really tough time especially for men right now, because we're supposed to be in control. We're supposed to be the guys who are, you know, going in the right direction and building, making the most of ourselves. I've said this before, men must become, women just are. Women's value tends to be intrinsic to them because their value tends to be their sexual market value. And I don't mean personal value, okay? There's a difference. Women tend to conflate the personal value with sexual market value. And probably rightly so, because there's so much that's riding on their agency and their power in life is attached to their sexuality. But for men, we've got to remember I told you the laundry list of prerequisites that women have for guys throughout the at different phases of their maturity. Men have to be smarter, stronger, taller, make more money. Think of all the things on that list. That's men becoming and maturing into their peak value. Well, if I tell you the way to get to that is through, you know, be a nice guy, carry her books home from school, you know, speak in these tones and don't step on her toes and learn to be a good dancer and all this kind of, like, you know, really emotional side of, you know, the mating strategy. If I tell you that's the key to success, and then yet you go online and you find out in no uncertain terms from woman after woman after woman that what you believe before that you have your ego invested in is actually false, then you're going to have a crisis of identity. That's when you're going to be like, okay, oh my God, what's going on here? I thought I was playing by this old order, old rule set, and nobody is playing by that right now. And so you either have to adapt and reconstruct yourself, as you were saying before, you get to that point where you have to, you're asking these questions for the first time in your life, and you go, was my religion wrong? Was my dad wrong? Was my school wrong? Was popular media wrong? Was the music I listened to wrong? Well, all because it all built up who I am as a personality.
Weak. I ended up weak.
And it made me weak. And now I can't believe it, but I'm starting to think that the people who were giving me shit back in the day, now suddenly maybe they're not so crazy after all. And you're kind of having to reassess and jigger your belief set as a result of that. And the toughest part of that is all the people who you knew you from the time you were like a 5-year-old boy to where you are right now, they'll tell you you're trying to be something you're not. They're crabs in the bucket trying to pull you back down into the bucket again because they want you predictable. They want you to stay the same because then they can go on with their lives and they can, oh, well, good old reliable Elijah. I can just go back to him because he's always going to be this way. I can borrow money from him. I can rely on him to give me a ride somewhere or whatever.
I Friday
can
use night him. Beers. I know his schedule.
Utility kind of thing instead of, well, he's at the gym now and now he's changed his mind about himself and he's becoming somebody else. You get to decide who you want to be. That's the thing about personality. People say it's static. There's a genetic component to personality, yes. But ultimately, you get to decide who you're going to be. And that's the toughest part most guys in this sphere have is because they have to change their minds about themselves. And to do that, they have to confront all of that ego investment that they had up to that point that is now being completely thrown out the window. And that's how you get incels, and that's how you get the black pill, and that's how you get the doomer guys online right now. Because they're going through a crisis and they don't know how to go forward. They're stuck where they're at, where it's like, oh my God, what happened? Now I'm not who I was before and I don't know how to go forward. And what I'm saying is this, is that we're the teachers. We're this crazy YouTube influencer culture, the hustle economy. We have to be careful of what we're going to teach those guys who are at that point of crisis.
Yeah, and I think all I want to do, because I'm not a manosphere guy, I want to just be a normal man who tells people that, despite getting shit, you're going to get shit from a lot of people when you try to change who you are. And also, the only person keeping you back from changing is really yourself.
Right.
It's the fear of, number one, admitting that you didn't get it right. Number two, realizing that perhaps it's not all your fault, but it is your fault if you don't accept that and you don't make the change. Like, it's like that if you don't accept it and you think it's, that's somebody else's fault, now you're a victim and now you're weak, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be in that position where it's like, well, it wasn't my fault that I felt this. Like, I was born into this. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Well, how are you going to get out of it? Now it's your fault if you don't get out of it. Yeah. So now
you
got to
take responsibility. You can't say you didn't know any better.
Right. So now I know better. So now I've got to get out of this hole. And three, I think this is what's been really freeing with me. The world talks a lot about becoming comfortable with certain things, right? Mm-hmm. The big one in our society, well, I guess gender is now pronouns, but it was the big one was the sexuality one. Become comfortable in your sexuality. I tell people now become comfortable in your gender, not like in the non-binary, but you become comfortable as a man and realize that this has been the most freeing thing. A lot of guys feel very insecure around other men because they, either a man makes more money than them or he's taller or he's buffer or he's bolder or he's this. Look, you're not going to have every part of what it means to be a complete man. Nobody's fully complete. Nobody's fully perfect. Mm-hmm. Be making progress where you have the power to make progress. Mm-hmm. And as you make that progress, you actually become enlightened to realize that you have more power than you thought over areas that you thought, like where I thought, for instance, it's like, I was feeling depressed because my mom died. So, and then I was traveling and BLM and all the shit. So then it's like, I was like, was gaining some weight and looking like a flubby boy. And I was thinking like, I can't get control of this because I'm depressed. My brain hurts and I'm sad. I don't have the energy to do things. But then it's like, once I realized that like depression was an illusion and that I could learn to, when I finally realized that psychology is actually gay and that men can compartmentalization is not a negative thing. And you can bury things and learn to say, look, I'm going to just deal with this when it's convenient. I'm not going to carry it all day. And I'm going to work on these other areas. And I started realizing that the counseling came from, I made a really good guy friend named Aldo. And we really talked through a lot of things and we're able to, be there. He was be there for me. And we were really able to grow. Then I was like, then I got the motivation. I told my friend, John, I'm like, John, I'm going to start. I promise you in the next 60 days, I'm going to start getting you're going to start seeing changes getting ripped. I'm going to make a ton more money and things are going to change career wise. And it literally worked. He was like, bro, that was like a magic thing. Mm-hmm. You told me, he's like, I believed you. You were like, there's going to be a great reset in my life and I'm going to do it. And I said, yeah, cause we literally have the power to do it. It took a little bit of changes to snap back into that realization of like, I'm not stuck. I don't have to be the way I am. I may not be the buffest, the richest, anything, but I'm going to take power where I can. And there's so many places that we feel like we don't have the power that we can just take back. And the changes are so quick. We think it's like, oh, 10 years. No, within weeks, within days, sometimes, you know, within a few days, it's changing your diet. A few days, a few weeks at the gym. A few months in your marriage,
perseverance,
right? Yeah. A few months to years in your career. You can start a new career, and 2 years from now, you're gonna be a millionaire. A year from now, you know, like, I mean, it's so quick that we can change that I feel like that's where guys feel like, well, but I can't change because I'm stuck. It's like, no, you can. So as we close this out, what would you say to the man who feels stuck? How do they get out of that?
Sure. You'll remember what I said all out on last night's show as well, first of all, stop sedating yourself, whether that's porn or that's booze or that's weed, which is now legal. Great idea. OxyContin or whatever your opioid of choice happens to be, whatever your drug of choice is that is keeping you in a physically sedated state, get off of that right now. You can break addictions. Okay. That's number one. None of what I'm going to say next is going to matter if you keep sedating yourself and having other people sedate you as well. The other thing is this is, and you mentioned contentment versus discontentment. And I will leave you with this. This is a really, I think, a key element for guys. I believe that the human state is discontent. You will never be content in this life, particularly if you are a guy, okay? Now, all people say, well, you can be content in the Lord, right? Okay, fine. If you want to take it to a metaphysical plane, great. You can find contentment in God, great. But while you're here, you're going to be in various stages of discontent. And I don't mean like, oh, I'm depressed and I'm never going to get out of it kind of discontent. I mean like you're going to, even when you achieve something and you're on your game and you get the degree or the promotion or the new show or whatever it is that you've been striving for as long as you could, and you would think that will make you content. Maybe 3 months, maybe 6 months, it'll make you content for a little while, and then you'll be on to the next project. And that's a good thing. Discontentment, the human state, the human condition, being discontent is a good thing. What's a bad thing is how you deal with that discontent. You can deal with it destructively, or you can deal with it constructively. So you can say, "Oh, I'm gonna off myself." That's destructive, right? You can say, "Well, I'm just gonna sit here and sedate myself, or I'm gonna try to convince gaslight myself that I am actually content when I'm not actually content, and grind my teeth all day, writing troll posts on my show or whatever, right? Because that makes you feel like you're actually engaged and you're actually doing something. It's like the most minimum effort that you can do. That's destructively dealing with that discontent, because long term, as you were saying, after a while, like 10 years later, you're just going to be stuck where you were 10 years ago. How many guys do you know who are still stuck in the same town that you were in when you were in high school that haven't done jack shit with their lives, right? So you can do that, or you can deal with discontent constructively. And that's what I will always tell guys to do. Be creative, be productive. Go in what you said, well, what should we do? How do guys find their purpose? Go in one direction and keep going. Find a goal, set a goal, get at that goal. Because once you get there, you'll be, okay, cool. I got the degree. I got the certificate. I'm made the grade, and maybe I'm in the military. I got to the rank I wanted to. I don't know what you're personally. It's everybody has their own, things that they're interested in. Once you get to that point, it's the actually getting up to there and dealing with the discontent constructively. So if you're getting up at 4 a.m. and you're taking cold showers and you're getting to the gym and maybe your goal is to get in better shape. Great. Once you get to that, what are you going to do with that? You know, you're jacked and juicy, right? So now are you going to be a competitive bodybuilder? What are you going to do with that strength, right? What was the purpose of that? Well, now you can find another goal. But the thing is you were discontent with the way your body looked before, and now you're not, because you got to a state where you at least were better than you were before. So if you keep going and you deal with discontent constructively and creatively, that's how you build a body of work. So when you're laying on your deathbed, it's not about the trophies that are on your shelf. It's about your total body of work. What's the legacy that you're leaving behind? What is, and I'm saying this now as sort of, middle-aged guy, but what is the dent you're going to leave in the universe? You're probably not going to immortalize yourself as just like sort of sitting around doing anything else. And maybe that's not even your goal, but at the end of your life, it's not about your awards. It's about the body of work and what you created along the way, as in dealing with that discontent. So I think what most guys really don't understand is that I can't understand why they're depressed, why they can't get to where they want to, why they can't understand men or women, why they want to get laid. Like a lot of guys get into the relationship / dating scene or the old school PUAs, not because they wanted to be players, not because they wanted to have this, you know, roster of women that they were banging, you know, spinning plates and everything. They just wanted to get the skills just enough so they could get their dream girl, so they could get the girl that rejected them in high school, so they could get to the point where I don't want to be a player, but I want to marry a good girl. And the only way I can do that is so I can learn social skills. I understand enough game, or I understand enough about women so that I can be attractive to women. Mm-hmm. And they get to that point and they think that that's what will make them content, is when they get into that long-term relationship and they get there and they find out, you know what? This is not what I was thinking.
Yeah,
you see that
on TikTok a lot, where they mm-hmm. have the videos where they're like, oh, no one wanted to ask this guy out. They rejected him, and they show themselves when they were fat or something. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, this is who I am now. And they're like, then I realized I love the gym more than women. So it's like they mm-hmm. got in shape because they thought it was to get women. And then they found out that
they really like what they're doing in the gym. They like being, maybe they become a fitness coach or something. Yeah. I don't know, whatever else. But yeah, it leads to other things that you didn't know that you would like as a result along the way. So essentially, all of that is dealing with discontent. And again, you can be a black pill doomer and go, I'm going to just exit the game and the juice isn't worth the squeeze. Or you can change your stars and change yourself into something more and positive by using that discontent creatively. You must become. You have no, you know, plenary indulgence to be a, you know, to be a nothing as a guy. You have a burden of performance as a man, and not just from women. You don't have to be a dancing monkey. I will judge you as a man by what you have done. I can see that you've done a lot for yourself. I understand a little bit more about you. I asked you about your family today. I know where you come from, so I got a better idea of who you are. And you have a respectability, as far as I'm concerned, as a man, you know, seeing what you've done. You have a burden of performance, and you've matched that, or you've built upon that burden of performance pretty well. Now, women are going to look at that maybe a little bit differently because, oh, is he somebody that I want to marry? Is he somebody that I want to, you know, have a relationship with? Is somebody that I want to work with, for example? But your performance as a man is essential to your masculinity. Remember what we talked about, like what constitutes like conventional masculinity. That's accepting your burden of performance and also accepting that you're discontent and you can be creative in that discontent. I think those are key elements to understanding.
Awesome. Wow. Rollo Tomasi, the author of a Rational Male series of books, as well as his show. You can find all the links to his social media, to where you can buy his book on Amazon. And you have audiobooks too, I believe.
They're all on Audible.
On Audible. Mm-hmm. So you can find them all there. I do encourage you to check them out. Even if you didn't know Rollo's name, this happened to me a few people. They were like, they didn't know your name, but they knew your book, which is actually, it's better.
It's the name of the podcast too.
Well, but also I would rather have people know my show name than my personal name. Like, oh, I know that show. Because it's like, that's the content is what matters. And that's what grows people. The ego can slide. As we close out the show, I do want to remind you guys too that it's Christmas time, which means that we have a couple things at the beginning of the show. To remind you, we have the Give, Send, Go campaign, which we are going to start giving out next week, which is to help those of you guys, which a lot of you have applied, a lot of you have given. We are so grateful for how much you guys have supported those who have been affected by the vaccine mandates in your cities and your states. And so we are trying to give, as the SOBs, as all of us, we want to give back to you guys who are hurt. And so we raised a lot of money and we've got a lot of people we're working with. We'll talk about it next week. Don't forget to give to that if you can, or I think we're at maxed at people who can apply right now for the gifts. But if we give more, then we can help more people out. So that's really cool. Also remember too, guys, that we do have merch. It's going away. Blaze merch shop is in the description, and we have you can use the promo code OFFENSIVE20, OFFENSIVE20, to get 20% off everything. And they made these, so I'm going to get some of these for my dad.
I'm taking one of those home.
Yeah, you can actually take one. These are Let's Go Brandon socks. There's one with little poops out of a little poopies.
Who did this?
I don't know. Little poopies of the butt that says Let's Go Brandon. They have just the Let's Go Brandon socks, and the Let's Go Brandon with Blaze logos. These are my personal favorite, but they're all really cool. You can get them right now at blazesocks.com. I'm sure they're available at the merch shop too. Mark, do you know if they are? Do we know if these are available, Savannah, at the merch shop? Probably. Yeah, they are. So you just go to Blaze merch shop or blazesocks.com. Use promo code OFFENSIVE20. Get these. These also support 1,200 jobs. We've sold 65% of the inventory, and we're helping an American company and a bunch of Americans to get bonuses around Christmas time. Check, which one do you want? Here, there's all these three. Which one?
I want the one without the butt.
So which one? That one. All right, Blaze. There you go. Rolo Tomasi. Anyway, guys, thanks again so much again for watching another episode of Slightly Offensive. Don't forget to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Play Store. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm going to read a couple of these real fast before we close. We have a review from Nelson Beardman that says, "The Lone Ranger... Elijah, listening to your show is hilarious, and you are 20 times more funnier than the clowns on Late Night. By the way, get Mark Dice on the show. You two together would be hilarious, roasting all the LGBTQ freaks." I've invited him. There's so many people I've invited that just... I'm sure as the shows grow, more people will say yes.
They should say yes.
Yeah. Saravi Yahoo says, "Will Commons, I love your show. Best show on Blaze TV. We listen to you at work and collectively get a big laugh. Y'all are awesome." To all of you guys who watch us with your family and at work and stuff, I've heard some of you guys have small businesses. You just play it on the TV while you're all working and you guys all laugh together. I think that's epic. But I hope you learned a lot from this. Make sure, again, you support Savannah at the Rapid Fire Podcast and Sav Says. Have a great rest of the week. Merry Christmas, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.
Peace.